Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website funtrivia.com. Given the arrival of the annual International Bluegrass Music Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina this week, we have a couple of trivia questions about that genre of music. Question number one, with his bluegrass boys, this man crystallized the sound that is called bluegrass. Who is the quote-unquote father of the bluegrass sound? Is that A, Bill Monroe, B, Doc Watson, C, Willie Nelson, or D, Elvis Presley? The father of bluegrass sound. Who is that anyway? And question number two, not only men are famous in bluegrass, this lady is a talented fiddler with her lovely vocals that were featured on songs Down to the River to Pray and I'll Fly Away on the movie soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Which one of the following is she? Is that A, Reba McEntire, B, Alison Krauss, C, Dolly Parton, or D, Madonna? So who is this female bluegrass artist? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of September 29th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1791, you may remember, that the Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart opera, The Magic Flute, premiered in Vienna, Austria. Mozart's opera premiere, 1791, today. And it was 90 years ago today, 1933, that the half-hour country music and comedy show, National Barn Dance, debuted on WLS in Chicago, Illinois, 1933, today.
We are the Kickin' Grass Band again, and we are from Raleigh, North Carolina, but we do make it up and down the country, so check us out at kickingrass.com, and I think we're going to let the fiddle player here take us out with a good old number. We started out as the accompanying band for the Applechill Cloggers. That's how we all got together, was playing good old instrumental tunes. So we're going to take you out with one called the Cherokee Shuffle.
Kicking Grass, playing the Cherokee Shuffle, introduces our local music news and country and bluegrass music news. The annual International Bluegrass Music Association, IBMA, Festival, coming up on September 26th, that's this week, of course, through September 30th, that's this weekend, Raleigh, North Carolina, and that's the newsandobserver.com. It's on as we speak, as noted by a recent IBMA release. Experience the most important week in bluegrass. IBMA World of Bluegrass facilitates the growth and development of the bluegrass music community from professional to fan. This goal is accomplished through four main components: business, conference, showcases, award show, and music festival. This is the only place in the world where you can interact one-on-one with industry leaders, discover the hottest new music, jam with your heroes, and be a part of bluegrass history. The estimated turnout? 220,000 attendees, 130 exhibitors, and over 120 performers, including Steve Martin, Jerry Douglas, the Kruger Brothers, Del McCoury Band, Sister Sadie, Molly Tuttle, and the Berklee College of Music Bluegrass Ensemble, among many, many others. Year in and year out for the past decade, it's downtown Raleigh's biggest music festival. Most of the event is free, but the best seats for the evening main stage sets in Red Hat Amphitheater in downtown Raleigh are available for purchase. The direct economic impact within Wake County has been averaging about $12 million, so that's this weekend through September 30th, 2023, here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bach's Sheep May Safely Graze introduces our classical music news. It's titled Hope for Ukraine Concert brings musicians from war-torn country to St. Petersburg, Florida. This is written by Kathy Carter and published on the 14th of September, 2023 by WUSF Public Radio. The Kyiv Symphony Orchestra and Chorus was created and began performing sacred classical music in 1993. Before then, religious pieces like Handel's Messiah and Brahms' Requiem were banned under 70 years of communist rule. The 2023 tour marks the ensemble's 13th return to concert venues in the U.S., but for the first time, the group will not include men. That's because male performers are not permitted to travel outside the Ukraine during wartime. The ladies see this as an opportunity to do their part to help the soldiers on the front line, to help those recovering, and this is how they can use their skills to bring attention to the Ukraine and to raise support, said Greg Cannon, CEO of the nonprofit Music Mission Kyiv, which is sponsoring the tour. The organization was founded by Roger McMurrin, a Florida-based church music director who was invited to the Ukraine in 1993 to conduct Handel's Messiah. McMurrin hired 27 professional singers and a local orchestra for that performance. Cannon notes that when the Iron Curtain fell, religious music became known to Ukrainian musicians as, quote-unquote, an explosion of light. When our group sings, especially in the Ukraine, the response from people and the way it touches them has become that hope in the midst of darkness, he said. The current concert by the Kyiv Symphony Orchestra and Chorus is being held this Sunday at First Presbyterian Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thank you. Satin Doll introduces our jazz music news. One of jazz piano's most brazenly virtuosic players, according to the New York Times, that's Hiromi Sonic Wonder. That's coming up October 20th at 7:30 p.m. in Stewart Theater, NCSU campus. There's a pre-show dinner at the 1887 Bistro there as well, but reservations are required, of course, for that. A performance by Hiromi is always exhilarating. Her latest project is an electrified, heavy-on-the-groove four-piece band dubbed Sonic Wonder. Her new album, Sonic Wonderland, will be released in October, just before her third appearance with us. Bonus, don't miss the Japanese-themed pre-show dinner in 1887 Bistro. Make a reservation when you purchase your concert ticket. This is NC State Live. Since Hiromi thrilled NC State Live audiences back in 2009 and again with Stanley Clark in 2011, her ebullient piano playing has continued to eclipse the boundaries of jazz, classical, and pop. Her new project, Sonic Wonder, is an electrified four-piece band with heavy groove, featuring Adam O'Farrell on trumpet, Hadrian Farrow on bass, and Gene Coy on drums. Trust us when we say you want to be in the room when this happens. Born in Hamamatsu, Japan, in 1979, Hiromi's first piano teacher, Noriko Hikiri, exposed Hiromi to jazz, and in 1999, she moved to the U.S. to study at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. Since then, she has taken the jazz world by storm, winning major awards and playing with the likes of Chick Corea on bassist Stanley Clark's Grammy-winning Jazz in the Garden, and at the opening ceremonies of the Tokyo Olympics in 2021. An evening with Hiromi is exhilarating. Phone 919-513-3030 for details and ticket information. If you prefer to buy your tickets in person, the box office will be open 1 hour before showtime for cashless sales, subject to availability. You can also make an appointment with Ticket Central by emailing ticketcentral@ncsu.edu. Frampton's Sweet Liberté introduces our music research and technology. Why do guitarists pull guitar faces? You know the ones, those pain contorted faces, which all the greats sport when pulling out their best licks. But why? What causes them? And do they actually help your playing? This is published in licklibrary.com. There's nothing which encapsulates the image of a guitar player felling it mid-solo than a healthy guitar face. That grimace has been associated with some of the best performances and images of our favorite players since the dawn of the instrument as we know it. Are these faces genuine? Do they actually do anything? Should you be practicing your best ugly face along with your bends? We attempt to answer these burning questions and more. Number one, why the long face? With the most genuine guitar faces, players consider these to be entirely involuntary. Therefore, the core reason behind these often hilarious facial contortions is harder to pin down. But here are a few causes for that bad smell of visage we all are guilty of when in the throes of an epic solo. First of all, emotion. Above most other instruments, the electric guitar is a very emotive experience for both player and listener. You can really hear when a guitarist is or isn't putting their heart and soul into their playing. Concentration. Let's all admit, playing the guitar is hard. You are literally trying to make a piece of wood and metal sing. And to do so, you are required to bend and move lengths of metal which are stretched at tension. You give it so much focus. That's when your game face appears. And of course, there's vocal-like. Us guitarists, when plowing raw emotion into a solo, are really just frustrated singers, trying to express yourself without using your voice or indeed the lyrical content to convey the emotion of what you are singing about is naturally going to be expressed elsewhere, in your body, and moreover, in your face. This makes sense when you see so many famous players mimicking and mouthing the pitch or sound of their phrases when playing. Watch Eddie Van Halen or Dimebag perform an epic whammy bar dive, and you'll see this mirrored in their facial expressions. Number two, are guitar faces for real? Well, it might be considered that, despite the reasons above, players have always adopted the famous guitar face for the benefit of their audience. Perhaps it is the heightened emotion state of live performance, the additional concentration and pressure to get things right, or simply the need to entertain by showing the audience that you are truly lost in the music. How about number three? Do guitar faces actually help your playing? Well, you can try this with the most guitar face-inducing things you can play on a guitar, a big bend. First, play that bend without any movement from your body and take efforts to keep your face utterly expressionless. Now do the same, but back it up with the most heartfelt guitar face you can manage. Hear the difference? For fun, record this. You'll be surprised when you listen back. For many players, the age-old guitar face is something which is simply a byproduct of the emotional state and connection to the music, bridging the gap between themselves and the guitar. But it's not entirely a guitar thing. Pianists and violinists are great to watch, but an advanced warning, bass faces ain't pretty. Ain't It Fun? Introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Paramore's Grown Up Angst Pop. The emo icon stare down a world on fire and come up with a brave new album. This is written by Brittany Spanos in Rolling Stone magazine, February 2023. Paramore have mastered the art of maturing gracefully. Beginning with the band's self-titled 2013 album, it has slowly peeled away from the mainstream emo pop punk world it once dominated. In the process, Paramore have found themselves attached to a different kind of musical nostalgia, zeroing in on the slick sounds of 80s rock and new wave without so much as a hint of corny pastiche. As omnivorous fans and champions of younger artists, they always remain steeped in pop's ever-evolving present. This is why, that's the title of Paramore's excellent foray into post-punk riddled with a new set of anxieties, from witnessing global events to dealing with entering your 30s. This album is proof that the teen angst that fuels punk pop and emo never really dies. It merely mutates.
And it could be all alone. And it could be all your own.
So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, with his bluegrass boys, this man crystallized the sound that is called bluegrass. Who is the quote-unquote father of the bluegrass sound? Is that A, Bill Monroe, B, Doc Watson, C, Willie Nelson, or D, Elvis Presley? Correct answer. Answer A, Bill Monroe, is considered to be the quote-unquote father of bluegrass music. As noted in FunTrivia.com, Bill Monroe was born in Racine, Kentucky, on September the 13th, 1911. In 1934, with his two brothers, Birch on fiddle, Charlie on guitar, and Monroe on mandolin, they were offered full-time employment at Radio WLS in Chicago. Shortly after, Birch quit music, but Charlie and Bill regrouped, calling themselves the Monroe Brothers. In 1938, the brothers parted ways, and Bill, with his newly formed group, the Kentuckians, moved to KARK Radio in Atlanta, Georgia. It was in Atlanta that the Bluegrass Boys evolved. In 1939, Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys were invited to join the Grand Ole Opry. In 1945, banjo picker Earl Scruggs joined the group. By 1946, the Bluegrass Boys consisted of one of the finest string and vocal bands ever assembled, with Monroe on mandolin and tenor vocals, Earl Scruggs on banjo, Lester Flatt on lead vocals and guitar, Chubby Wise on fiddle, and Cedric Rainwater, a.k.a. Howard Watts, on stand-up bass. And the answer to our second question, not only men are famous in bluegrass, this lady is a talented fiddler, and her lovely vocals were featured on the songs Down to the River to Pray and I'll Fly Away on the movie soundtrack of O Brother, Where Art Thou? So who is this female bluegrass singer? Is it A, Reba McEntire, B, Alison Krauss, C, Dolly Parton, or D, Madonna? Correct answer, that's Alison Krauss. Answer B. As pointed out by FunTrivia.com, Alison Krauss is one of the finest fiddlers and vocalists in bluegrass. And as noted by Michael Ray in Britannica.com, Alison Krauss, born July 23, 1971 in Champaign, Illinois, U.S., is a bluegrass fiddler and singer who, alone and in collaboration with her band Union Station, perform folk, gospel, country, pop, and rock songs in the unamplified bluegrass style. She played a major role in the early 21st century revival of interest in bluegrass music. Krauss began studying classical violin at age 5, but proved to be a bluegrass prodigy. A flamboyant fiddler, she won several contests, led a band when she was 10, won the Illinois State Fiddling Championship 2 years later, and signed a recording contract at age 14. In 1990, she won a Grammy Award for her third album, I've Got That Old Feeling. As Union Station evolved and changed, Krauss's soprano singing became a primary element in its success. By 1995, the ensemble was a leading bluegrass act with the breakthrough album, Now That I've Found You, and the hit single, When You Say Nothing at All. Each of Krauss's successive efforts became bestsellers as well. Her performances on the soundtracks for the film O Brother, Where Art Thou? 2000 and Cold Mountain in 2003 helped to introduce bluegrass to a new audience. In 2004, the million-selling Alison Krauss and Union Station Live was awarded the Grammy for Best Bluegrass Album. Cluck Old Hen, which showcased Krauss's fiddle, won Best Country Instrumental, and her duet with pop artist James Taylor on How's the World Treating You was named Best Country Collaboration with Vocals. With those wins, Krauss passed soul legend Aretha Franklin to become the female artist with the most Grammys. She earned an additional 3 Grammy Awards for Lonely Runs Both Ways, 2004, and another for the duet Gone, Gone, Gone with Led Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant. That single appeared on the album Raising Sand, 2007, a project that brought together Krauss, Plant, and producer T-Bone Burnett. Burnett, who had worked with Krauss on the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and Cold Mountain soundtracks, crafted a sound that was equal parts Appalachian roots music, power pop, and guitar-driven rock, tied together by the distinctive vocals of Krauss and Plant. The album was a massive crossover success, hitting number 2 on the Billboard pop and country charts, and it earned 5 Grammy Awards for the duo, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year. Krauss received her 27th Grammy Award in 2012 when Paper Airplane 2011 won Best Bluegrass Album. In 2017, she released Windy City. It showcased country music songs from the 1950s and 60s. Krauss was awarded a National Medal of Arts in 2019, cited for making extraordinary contributions to American music. She then reunited with Plant for Raise the Roof, 2021. This year, 2023, Krauss and Plant have been touring together around the nation and in North Carolina, Wilmington, Asheville, and Charlotte this past May. So let's close out today's program with a final nod to the bluegrass genre and the IBMA being celebrated here in Raleigh with artists performing this weekend, the Krueger Brothers, with Steve Martin on banjo. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.